This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. Excited to have another show today where we're going to be talking a ton of NBA. We're going to be talking about what happened over the weekend. We have a new head coach firing. We got an injury note for tonight's games. Nick's going to give us his favorite props and plays for both Knicks Sixers and Spurs Wolves. Ian Cameron's going to join us on the show, talk a little NBA and NHL with them. And then we'll finish up with our favorite baseball picks and picks and plays and our best bets for the day as well. Nick Whalen, we all started in the NBA last night. The Detroit Pistons eliminated the Orlando Magic, came back from that deficit there, including a wild comeback over the weekend in Game 6. A thorough win on Sunday, not shortly thereafter, Jamal Mosley got fired by the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, and I want to say it's surprising that Jamal Mosley was let go. On the other hand, you know, he was very clearly on the hot seat coming into the playoffs. You know, obviously, if Orlando had won that game, or if they had just not scored 19 points in the second half of Game 6 and closed it out at home, he's still coaching in Round 2. But there were some evaluations, I think, going on behind the scenes. Overall, you know, I think this was a more competitive series than most expected. Orlando was certainly in position to knock off the one seed. It felt like it was going to happen multiple times in this series, but one final letdown yesterday afternoon for the Orlando Magic. And I think the firing of Mosley is more about just the overall result of this season, not the result of this series. My guess is that the Magic were pretty sure they were probably going to be parting ways with him regardless of how round one went. And again, they put on a really nice performance. They didn't have Wagner to conclude the series. Maybe things would have gone differently. But the overall situation here for the Magic is they expected to be where the Pistons are this season. They thought they would be the team winning, you know, 53, 55 plus games, taking a big step forward. And it didn't happen. Look, when your head coach is feuding with your best player over and over throughout the regular season, you got these rumblings coming out of Orlando that, yeah, maybe Banchero can't play here next season. Usually the coach is the one who ends up taking the fall in those scenarios. So not necessarily surprised that the Magic made that decision. And lo and behold, Jeff, the New Orleans Pelicans apparently very interested in bringing in Jamal Mosley already to be their next head coach.
Yeah, wild. Wild to see that so quickly there. Like, you know, what sort of vetting process are they doing? Is this like something that they in the bag already? I don't know. It just seems really weird that they'd be looking at that so quickly there as far as Mosley goes. Hot candidate, you know, a guy that gets just fired, you know. Although it happened in the NFL, this is not a John Harbaugh situation, though. It's not like, you know, definitely not the same sort of scenario there. The Pistons move on. They survive as the one seed. I don't know what to make out of the Pistons going forward there. The East is wide open, too. It's really with the Celtics getting knocked out. We're talking about them last week as the betting favorite to win the East. They're gone. We'll talk about that shortly, but now you got the Pistons moving on. They're facing the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not sure what to make out of that series because I'm not sure what to make out of either of those two teams. There's some history there. There's a history between the cities as well.
Yeah, and Detroit opened as a series favorite. Minus 120, the opening price has held so far at DraftKings. Cavs, you know, plus 120 right now to win that series. So it's very, very close. But I think in the court of public opinion, most people would say they probably feel better about the Cavs right now than they do the Detroit Pistons. But, you know, Cavaliers were taken to 7, somewhat surprisingly, by the Toronto Raptors in their series. Donovan Mitchell did not play well over the second half of that series. You got just a classic James Harden, you know, very quiet, staying in the background, game 7 yesterday. But I would pick the Cavs straight up to win this series. I would take Cleveland at plus money to win it outright. The Pistons finally broke through offensively in game 7, but they were shooting 28% from 3 as a team heading into Sunday. Their reliance on Cade Cunningham, I think, is going to continue to be a problem. You know, maybe this is a better series for Jalen Duren. He did have a couple of huge games, points and rebounds wise, against the Cavs during the regular season, but can you depend on this version of Tobias Harris carrying over to round 2? I'm not sure you can. You know, Cleveland has a really good defender in Jalen Tyson, who's given Cade Cunningham trouble during the regular season. He was their most common defender when these two teams matched up. He held Cade Cunningham to 28% shooting in those matchups. I think we'll see Dean Wade, who has some size, spend some time on Cade Cunningham. But the bottom line is, you know, I think Cade will get his. This could be another series where he's giving you like 33, 6, and 6. But the Pistons are going to need multiple players to step up. And again, I would not expect that from Tobias Harris. You know, Dennis Jenkins finally gave them something in game seven. He wasn't great in that series. I think 3-point shooting is going to continue to be a major, major issue. So I like the Cavs to prevail in that series. I'm actually a little bit surprised that we haven't seen some more movement on that series line. I know the Pistons are the one seed, but man, that was not an encouraging round one.
No, it certainly wasn't. But for Tobias Harris, they don't make it to this round. Tobias Harris had himself a series. I thought that that was, he really stepped up again in game seven. You know, he had a really good moments all throughout this series. You know, give him his flowers. He's been a really big part of that there. So good for him as far as that goes. Saturday, let's talk about the Celtics and the Sixers there, because that was just completion of a momentous turnaround in the series, where the Celtics are up 3-1 in the series. They're up 10 points in the third quarter, and their offense fell apart even before Tatum re-injured himself there. And it's a different type of injury, I understand. But even before that the end of the end of game five, they fell apart offensively, 11 points in the fourth quarter in that one there. And Joel Embiid emerged. He emerged as the best player on the court.
Yeah, that was the turning point. I think it really was. It felt like the fourth quarter of game five is when we saw a different version of the Boston Celtics going forward. I mean, you kind of forget with how that game played out. They were leading heading into the fourth. And if you were watching game five, the Celtics had multiple times where they would push the lead up to 7, 8, 9 points. And you're thinking, man, they're just, you know, a couple scores and stops away from putting this away. And Philly always had an answer. Obviously, Celtics just completely cratered in that fourth quarter and just never recovered their confidence, I guess. You know, the offense looked differently over the final two games. It was a lot of my turn, your turn between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in game six. Tatum, of course, gets hurt late in the first half and then didn't even play in game seven. I still have not really seen a great answer for why Joe Mazzulla rolled up the lineup that he did in game seven, put the Celtics in an early hole and just, I think, kind of just set the vibes negatively for the rest of the night. But look, you got to give credit to the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, when Embiid came back in game four, Jeff, I was wondering, like, is this a net positive, right? It's like he got his numbers,
right,
but it kind of felt like it threw things off. He was giving up stuff on defense. Embiid was incredible down the stretch in this series. Goes without saying that he is going to be the key if the Sixers have any chance to knock off the Knicks. Knicks are minus 270 favorites right now in that series. I think the Knicks win it, Jeff. I do. I also wonder, are they a little inflated right now based on how that Atlanta series ended? Just a total no-show from the Hawks in game six the other night. I think on paper, the Sixers and the Knicks match up pretty well, especially if Paul George is going to play anywhere close to like he did in round one. You got a couple pop games from VJ Edgecombe. And again, the Embiid thing is just such a big problem for anyone. It was a big problem for Boston, right? They didn't really have a defender beyond Kata to throw at him. And look, well, we'll talk about some ways that we're betting this series a little bit later in the show, but Karl Anthony Towns does not have a long history of defending Joel Embiid well. Last time these teams played in late January, Cat fouled out in 16 minutes. So it's going to be imperative that both Towns and Mitchell Robinson find a way to stay out of foul trouble, especially with how well Towns played in round one. That was arguably the best series of his playoff career.
Tepid take here. The two teams playing in that series, in the Knicks and the Sixers, are the two better teams remaining in the Eastern Conference. I think they would be, I would have them favored to beat either of them, to beat either Detroit or to beat Cleveland.
I think that's fair, and I think that would be the case, you know, whoever emerges from this series when we get to the East Finals. I'm still holding out hope for Cleveland, and I know what that means. I know I'm investing, you know, in James Harden in the playoffs, so I understand what I'm walking into here. But I think there's a chance if the Cavs lock in, you know, they could dispatch this Pistons team maybe a little bit more easily than we think, and that could be a really competitive series, you know, regardless of who they play in that final round. But look, the odds would tell you the Eastern Conference is the New York Knicks to lose right now.
Yes, I was surprised at the degree of those odds as well. I'm with you as far as that goes. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as a betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire gives you the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, breaking updates, and data that never sleeps. Whether you're setting fantasy lineups, making picks, or placing bets, RotoWire's award-winning insights give you a real edge. Get started today at rotowire.com and use promo code VSIN for 15% off any RotoWire product. All right, Nick, a few other news and notes. You know, I know you are closely following the NHL, but we actually had, it's been a fun playoff so far. I'll just riff for a second here. Just on the juxtaposition of the two hockey games yesterday. You had a game seven, Canadiens Lightning, game seven, where the Habs, they won a game while shooting 9 shots on goal. New record as far as that goes. Meanwhile, the Avs in game one of the second round against the Minnesota Wild win a 9-6 hockey game there, where it's basically like it was basically your all-star game. It was such a wide open game. It was pond hockey. It was really kind of crazy to see some of that and see that juxtaposition there. Probably won't see that going forward, but fun to see the two different styles. One thing, if you're in a trend betting, this was a good way to end trend betting here, because we'd seen 6 years in a row of a Florida team making the Stanley Cup Finals. They're done now. The Florida Panthers didn't even make the playoffs this year, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are done. So interesting in seeing that. Baseball wise, we're both fans of Ronald Acuña Jr. We're not going to be able to see him too much from the short term here with that hamstring injury.
Injuries still piling up across Major League Baseball. Jeff Acuña to the IL, at least in my neck of the woods. Excuse me. We have some help coming potentially this week for the Milwaukee Brewers. Should get Andrew Vaughn back later today. Could get Churio back from the IL this week. But you know, even guys like Ben Rice, you know, for the New York Yankees, who's been one of the best hitters in baseball. He had a scare over the weekend. Still awaiting a more concrete update on what's going on with his bruised hand. But we'll get into some news in Major League Baseball and all of our favorite plays from the slate later in the show. When we come back, we're going to take a deeper look at both of the series starting up in the NBA tonight. Series prices, series plays for Sixers, Knicks, and Timberwolves, Spurs on the other side. You're watching Prop Points. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you for the next hour here on the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. It's time for the start of round two of the NBA playoffs. Let's start talking a little bit more Sixers and Knicks. We kind of touched on this a little bit there when we're talking about Boston getting eliminated by the 76ers. Knicks are -270 to win the series. There's some various plays you can get there. Sixers +220. Let's talk about the overall series here, first of all, Nick, and some of the general trends that you like.
Yeah, well, I mean, like we talked about at the top of the show, like I don't think it's off the table that the Sixers could win this series by any means. It's refreshing to have some like normal series prices after, you know, so many of those in round one where it's like, all right, you lay in the -2000 with the San Antonio Spurs, excuse me, who are basically in that same situation now against Minnesota, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I think you absolutely have to look at the over 5.5 games, reasonably priced, I think, at DraftKings at -130. The under is +105. I think overall, the series price does make sense with how well the Knicks closed that Hawks series, with how well Karl Anthony Towns and OG Anunoby played. I think it was important for Mikal Bridges as well to get going offensively. You hope that carries over to round two. And look, maybe I'm picking with my heart a little bit here, Jeff. I'm happy for Joel Embiid, who has not had many shining moments in his playoff career. You know, we're used to things ending disastrously in round one for the 76ers. Who doesn't love Tyrese Maxey and the level that he's playing at right now? Like we said, both VJ Edgecombe and Paul George had huge moments in that round one series. But my overall concern for Philly, if you're willing to, you know, play the under 5.5 games, or you love the Knicks to take care of business in this series, I think the question you're asking is, yes, Joel Embiid has advantages against whoever the Knicks throw at him, whether it's Cat or Robinson. Do we trust that Joel Embiid can make it through another playoff series. I think that has to be discussed, because even in these final three games against Boston, there's like two or three moments every game where Embiid hits the floor, or he's grabbing at his knee, or he's grabbing at his abdomen, and he's getting stretched out on the side. It's like, you know, every single year we go through this with Embiid. And obviously if he were to go out at any point, that would be devastating. So I think that is something that's perhaps factored in to the series price. Again, I would look at unders for Karl-Anthony Towns in game one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Like I said, he's dealt with foul trouble against Joel Embiid. Mitchell Robinson, it wasn't a whole lot better than Towns in the regular season. Both guys got in foul trouble in their matchups against Philadelphia. The Sixers, Jeff, had a 119 offensive rating with Embiid on the court in the regular season. He played in like 38 games, so a relatively small sample, but they were basically the third best offense in the NBA with Joel Embiid. If he's on the court in this series, I think it's competitive. I think it goes at least six.
Yeah, the very end of the game against Boston on Saturday, it looked like his knee got hyperextended when his own teammate collided with him there at the end of the game. Right. I thought, oh God, that looked horrible to me. And he's limping around, and then next thing you know, he's back to being himself again there, and he's listed as probable for tonight. So there you go, as far as that goes. So yeah, that is one of the big keys in this whole series there, and keys in the tonight here as well. So any other bets? So you like the over 5.5 games at -130? Is there? Yeah. Anything else that you like in that game one?
Yeah, I mean, as far as game one specifically goes, like I said, I would look at Cat under 35.5 points, rebounds, assists. He was so good. He was so consistent in round one. This is just a different ball game going up against Embiid. You know, he has to play differently defensively. You always worry about the offensive fouls with Karl-Anthony Towns as well. You hope that the level he played at in round one carries over, but I'm not just ready to lock that in. So I'll play the under 35.5 points, rebounds, assists, -109 at DraftKings. Yeah, I am pretty confident that OG Anunoby, his performance in round one, will carry over. 3+3s for OG tonight is +118 at DraftKings. Sixers gave up over 22 wide open threes per game in round one. Now, you're going up against a high volume team in the Boston Celtics, but there were really only a couple games in that series where they really ramped up the volume. So I think New York should have some open looks. I think a lot of those will trickle to OG Anunoby. This should be a Josh Hart series as well, Jeff, a series where the Sixers are going to dare Josh Hart to beat them offensively. He does tend to run hot and cold. He will likely have Joel Embiid guarding him for long stretches of game one. Embiid does not really want to chase him out to the perimeter. I think they'll live with Josh Hart taking some open threes. He even acknowledged it over the weekend heading into this series. So one semi-long shot prop, you know, that I would take a look at is Josh Hart 2+3s, getting up close to +140 at DraftKings.
I think you want to find, I would like almost want to explore attempts in that case there as well to see what sort of props you can find as far as that goes.
If you can find it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like me trying to search out walk props for pitchers. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. All right. Before we start talking a little bit about the other game tonight, the Minnesota San Antonio game, smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, get our annual subscription. It's normally $240 for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. Get access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, Nick, let's talk a little bit about T-Wolves and Spurs. Massive price here for the series on the Spurs, -1200.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You know, Minnesota obviously was able to dispatch whatever version of the Nuggets we saw in round one. And an incredible win for Minnesota, incredible coaching job by Chris Finch. I think it's a worse loss for Denver than it is a great win for Minnesota. I mean, just an all-time no-show, I thought, by the Nuggets throughout that series, all-time no-show by Jamal Murray in the clinching game six. So like you mentioned, there's not a whole lot of merit in betting the Spurs on the series line at -1200. You could look into a Spurs sweep, which is +150. I think Spurs 4-1 to me makes a little bit more sense, a little bit more value there at +225. We do need to talk about Anthony Edwards, who like 24 hours ago, it was looking like he was aiming to come back for game three, which is not until Friday. He was bumped up to questionable yesterday. There was a report about an hour ago that he went through, quote, significant portions of shoot around earlier this morning. It sounds like Anthony Edwards, if it's fully up to him, he would be out there tonight. It's going to come down to whether the Minnesota Timberwolves training staff actually allows him to play. I still think they probably play it safe and hold him out tonight, but we have seen an adjustment to the line, Jeff. It moved from 13.5 to 11.5 just in the last hour. So, you know, at least the feeling beneath the scenes is that Anthony Edwards could be back for this game. The question to me, though, and we talked about this with Reeves, we've talked about it with Luka Doncic, if he's back, what version are you getting? You know, are you getting full bore Anthony Edwards? Do you want a 75% version of Ant Edwards out there tonight to begin this series? I'm not sure. I'm looking at the under tonight, 217.5. That's my favorite play. 4 or 5 games in the Spurs Blazers series went under this number. Minnesota was excellent defensively in that Denver series. It's really tough for me to envision whether Ant is out there or not. Those same level of contributions from Jaden McDaniels and Terrence Shannon, who are both excellent in game 6 against Denver. And look, the Wolves were getting whatever they wanted at the rim in that Nuggets series, about 30 field goal attempts per game in the restricted area. They were shooting about 70% on those attempts. The Blazers, by comparison, had similar volume and shot 57% at the rim against San Antonio. So I think this is one of those games that'll be kind of a shock to the system in terms of the Spurs intensity and the Spurs rim protection for Minnesota tonight.
Yeah, I keep in my mind, I keep going back to that Terrence Shannon dunk at the rim where he just drove and took it straight to the hole and dunked it there. That's not happening against San Antonio. I just don't see that happening. I mean, Shannon's a fine player. He has like that one or two moments in the playoffs each year, it seems like. But, you know, that sort of play is going to be a lot more contested. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's going to be different there. Any other props for game one that you like in this one?
Yeah, I think De'Aaron Fox, 2+3s in this game is interesting, -115 at FanDuel. I think there'll be some opportunities for him offensively. You know, so much of the focus has to just be on slowing down Victor Wembanyama. And look, if Ant is out there, he's a good defender. You know, I think that adds to what Minnesota could bring. Dosunmu, by the way, is questionable for tonight. But if we have to see Mike Conley for long stretches, I think that is very good news for De'Aaron Fox. So I'm interested in the PRA, you know, the points plus assists as well for Fox, but 2+3s is one that jumped out. And if I'm playing anything with Wembanyama tonight, Jeff, it would be the over 11.5 boards at -110. Again, I think we could see a relatively fast-paced series. I think both of these teams are comfortable kind of playing at any pace, and I just don't see this being an efficient night offensively for the Timberwolves. So kind of looking at that one from more of a rebound opportunity perspective.
All right, we've got about a minute left. Let's get a couple early plays in Cleveland-Detroit. Anything in particular you like in that series?
I'll take the Cavs +3.5 as an early play for game one. There were some 2.5s out there last night, now sitting 3.5. I mean, the intensity, is there, you know, in these home games for the Detroit Pistons. There's a little bit of an exhale factor, I think, after just making it through that round one series. But Cleveland, I still think it's our team. I think we are, this is lazy analysis, but we're due for a much better offensive game from Donovan Mitchell. Again, I just worry about Detroit's over-reliance on Cade Cunningham. And then I will leave you, Jeff, with an early play for OKC and the LA Lakers. OKC is a 15.5 point favorite for game one tomorrow night. And in my opinion, rightfully so, does not feel like we're going to see Luka Doncic out there. I'm looking at the Lakers team total under 98.5. I mean, they were struggling to get to 95 night to night against that Houston team. If I think it's a shock to the system for Minnesota facing San Antonio defensively, I think that applies double to this Lakers team that turned it over more than 18 times per game in round one against Houston. You just cannot get away with that against OKC. They will make you pay more than any team in the NBA. So I think we see a big time offensive struggle in game one tomorrow night for the Lakers.
Ian Cameron, host of the Ice Guys podcast, joins us next on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you here on the sports betting network, streaming along over on SiriusXM channel 158. Going to bring on our friend Ian Cameron, veteran sports bettor, host of the Ice Guys podcast. You can find him on Twitter on X at Bobano Bets. He joins us via the Progressive Guest Line. Ian, going to talk a little hockey and NBA with you. Not often you find people who dabble in both of those sports. I feel like those are kind of oil and water, but we'll start on the NHL side of things. Canadians took down the Lightning in game seven. They will now take on the Sabres in round two. Won't have game one of that series until Wednesday, but early series line right down the middle, minus 110 both ways. Any early leans for you looking at that round two series?
You know, I think it's a fair line with that Montreal-Buffalo series, guys, when you look at it. Obviously, these are two teams that have had very, very impressive seasons. Montreal's a team that got to the first round last year and lost. And we know Buffalo's been a perennial doormat for, you know, 10 or 15 years, you know, breaking a very long playoff drought. In fact, that series victory for the Sabres over the Bruins was their first playoff series win since 2007. You know, so that tells you how long it has been. You know, it's a very, very good series. It's going to be a very, very close series, in my opinion. Both teams have certainly offensive game breakers. Both teams have shown the ability to play very solid defense and play well with a lead, which is impressive because, you know, that's been their issues in years past when they've struggled. And both goalies are playing at a high level. Alex Lyon took over from UPL midway through the Boston series for Buffalo. And then Jakub Dobish, they don't win game seven against Tampa Bay without him. He was absolutely spectacular in that game. So it's a very competitive series. The way I'm going to bet it is I'm going to lean slightly to the Montreal Canadiens side here in this series. Don't know if I'm going to make a bet on the series price, but when I think it's going to be a close series and a competitive series, one thing I'll do is I'll bet the exact number of games for the series to go six games and seven games, as well as bet Montreal 4-2, 4-3 series result, Buffalo 4-2, 4-3 series result. And as long as the series goes minimum six, regardless of winner, you turn a profit. So that's going to be my betting approach here.
I like that. I like that a lot. And we're learning a lot about how to bet hockey. Just, you know, just there's some certain approaches that work better that compared to different sports. So I like seeing that. Last night, we saw an NHL All-Star game breakout during a playoff game with the Avs beating the Wild 9-6 in this one there. How deep do you see this series going?
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, Colorado, I mean, that was 1980s hockey in 2026, essentially, last night. It was entertaining stuff, 9-6 Colorado. Obviously, look, there were a lot of defensive issues, and I think why it was such a high-scoring game, and look, I had over 5.5. I didn't realize over 14.5 would have cashed in that game either. Should have looked at some alt totals, maybe, in that game. But no, obviously, I like the over in game one. I certainly didn't expect 15 goals. But when you look at it, these two teams defensively, you can make an argument they didn't get tested as much as they could have in the first round. Dallas is a team that struggled at even strength, 5-on-5 to score in that series. Mikko Rantanen, one of their best offensive players, was less than 100%. And I think it was just a matchup where Minnesota defensively was more able to contain Dallas. You turn it around to Colorado, well, they faced the LA Kings in the first round. LA's never been an offensive juggernaut. You know, you shut down Adrian Kempe, maybe you shut down Artemi Panarin, and you contain the LA Kings. They're not a scary offensive team. Now you get these two teams playing each other. Well, Minnesota is a much better offensive team than LA was. And for Minnesota, Colorado's a better offensive team than Dallas was. And I think we saw that. It's almost like an adjustment, a culture shock, if you will. Whoa, we've got to be really on our toes defensively because we're playing a team with a lot more firepower. And I think that was on full display last night.
Ian Cameron, host of the Ice Guys podcast, joining us here on Prop Points via the Progressive Guest Line. Ian, let's head over to a game two coming our way tonight, Flyers Hurricanes. I know you have a few ways that you're playing this one.
Yeah, this is a series where if I think the series is one-sided, you know, we talk about the zigzag theory. You know, it's something in the NHL and NBA playoffs that gets talked about a lot. You bet the straight-up loser of the next game. But you do that when it's a competitive series. And I just don't know if that's going to be the case with Carolina-Philly. It just looks like Carolina's a lot better than the Flyers. Philadelphia is not a great offensive team. Their power play, dead last in the NHL. Carolina's penalty kill elite. What's impressive about Carolina is their puck pressure. They pressure the puck all over the ice. They give you no time and space to make a play with the puck. And that has been their defensive mantra all playoffs. It's why they've never trailed so far through five games of the Stanley Cup playoffs, sweeping Ottawa, and then, of course, shutting out Philly in game one. I'm going to go back to the well here with Carolina, a first period puck line bet, -0.5, plus 130. Split that up with Carolina, team total over one, plus 115 in the first period. The reason I like first period more with Carolina is because we saw it in game one. They like to sit on the lead. You know, once they get on a lead, they don't always attack for more goals. So the first period might be the best option. Flyers team total under two, minus 125 is good. I mean, you're just not seeing Carolina give up anything. And a player prop that I like in this game, I mean, we got to ride it. He's scored in every game. Logan Stankoven at plus 200 for Carolina to score a goal. He's been red hot. No goal scorer in the NHL right now in the playoffs is feeling it more than Logan Stankoven. And you should sprinkle on the first goal for him as well. He scored the first goal of the game multiple times in this year's playoffs, and you can get, you know, 10 to 1, 12 to 1 type of price there. So that's what I'm looking at with Canes Flyers.
Ian, talk about contrast in styles. The nightcap, it would be Ducks and Golden Knights. Ducks have played some wide-open games, knocking out the Oilers. The Golden Knights had to switch coaches late in the season, hiring Torts. They've had goalie issues all season long. Should this be a high-scoring game? Do you like the over 6.5 in this one?
I do. This is kind of like my handicap of Minnesota-Colorado, and I'm not expecting this game to be 9-6, but I do think we're going to see some goals. Keep in mind, they met three times in the regular season, the Ducks and the Golden Knights. 4-3 was the final score of all three games, so 7 goals in each game. And I think here in this game, in this first game of the series, it's going to be an adjustment for Vegas. I thought Vegas, even though they beat Utah, they struggled with the transition game of Utah. You know, they gave up odd man rushes, and some of the turnovers they've had really hurt them. Now, they survived it. I thought they cleaned things up in game 6. But Anaheim's even, a more potent version of Utah, and maybe even a little bit more speed and depth than Utah. So I think this is going to be a challenge here for Vegas, especially in game 1, to get used to that. But Anaheim still has some defensive issues. You know, they've been giving up goals all season. And even against Edmonton and winning that series, they still weren't a shutdown defensive team. So I think Vegas is going to be able to score goals here as well. So I ended up playing over 1.5 first period. At around even money and over 6.5 minus 105. And some props I like here. Ivan Barbashev for Vegas is on a 6-game point streak. You only have to lay $1.15 for him to get a point. Jackson Lacombe for Anaheim, leading point scorer in the first round for the Ducks, only minus 130 for his point prop, which I think is a great bargain. And if you want a nice plus price that is very live, how about Brett Howden for Vegas to score a goal at plus 350? He scored now in 3 straight games for the Golden Knights, and he's really found his offensive footing.
Ian, let's head over to the NBA. I know you have some plays for both game ones tonight. We'll start with the early game, Sixers-Knicks. Yeah, how do you see this series playing out? How do you see game one playing out from a tempo, from a scoring perspective after so many of these rock fight games in round one? And how does that impact how you're betting game one in terms of player props?
You know, typically I like to look at game ones, even in the NBA, maybe a little bit looser, you know, defensively. And I think Philly, New York could certainly be one of those games. I mean, you look at the regular season matchups, Sixers and Knicks, and I know the personnel situations were a little bit different in those games, but all 4 of those games easily went over the number we're seeing here for this total here in game one. I think the Sixers, when Embiid got integrated back, we started to see the offensive cohesion come together. VJ Edgecombe didn't play like a rookie for much of that series against the Celtics, especially later on. I think when you look at New York with Mike Brown this year compared to Tibbs, there's a little bit more of an emphasis on getting out in transition, running a bit more offensive basketball. And, you know, New York showed it defensively late in the series against Atlanta for sure. But I think the Sixers are probably going to test them a little bit more at the defensive end. So in this first game, I think it can get over that 212.5, 213 total. A couple props I like. Paul George over 14.5 points. There's a talk that Embiid might be limited or hobbled in some degree tonight. That means, and Paul George is seeing upwards of 40 minutes as it is. So, you know, 14.5 points for Paul George over makes sense. VJ Edgecombe for Philly over 12.5 points. I like that prop. And here's an interesting down the radar prop. Clarkson for New York over 5.5 points. He's gone over that number in 6 straight games. This reminds me of when I rode Io Desunmu earlier this season for Minnesota. At one time, he had gone over his point prop in 11 straight games, and there was no adjustment. Nobody really paid attention to it. I did, and I was the benefactor. And we're starting to see that now with Jordan Clarkson getting enough court time to go over a very low number at 5.5 points.
All righty, in about 30 seconds left here, what are you looking at real quickly in Wolves Spurs tonight?
So we know Anthony Edwards might play. It's not confirmed yet, but I like San Antonio first half, -6.5, and team total over 56.5 in the first half. I think it's going to be tough early for Minnesota to just get used to what the Spurs throw at them. And De'Aaron Fox over his point prop of 17.5 as well. Not only has he gone over that number in 3 straight games, played well late in the Portland series, but he's done lots of damage against Minnesota head-to-head in the past. So De'Aaron Fox over the point prop, I like that one.
Ian Cameron, everybody, veteran sports bettor. You can catch him as the host of the Ice Guys podcast and follow him on Twitter at BobanoBets. Joined us via the Progressive guest line. Picks and props for the Major League Baseball slate when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Monday edition of Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network, taking you up to the top of the hour. Finishing out the show, as we always do, Jeff, with some plays for the Major League Baseball slate. No true day games today. We got one game starting up in the afternoon on the West Coast, but no games in action, so we get to talk about them all. Let's start in the AL East. We got the best team in baseball, the New York Yankees, playing host to the Baltimore Orioles tonight. Shane Baz going up against Cam Schlittler. Can I interest you, Jeff, in any strikeout props for Cam Schlittler? Which this just has Michael Cohen written all over it.
It does. As a matter of fact, Michael is the devil in our ear, tempting us with over 7.5 strikeouts over at DK at +146. The standard line, this is an alt line. The actual line is 6.5, and the total, that line is -132. That's not as fun. But should we consider the alt line? Cam Schlittler's got a 49-6 K to walk over his last seven starts. That's over 41 and two-thirds innings. Doesn't hit that like that high 10 strikeout, 11 strikeout game. He's not like Dylan Cease, but he's been steady all along. Baltimore could be the right opponent for this one here, though. 24.5% K percentage. It's fifth highest in Major League Baseball. Against right-handers is 24.4. It's the third highest in baseball against righties. So, yes, let's go ahead and make that a play. Just sprinkle a unit here. A little bit of sprinkle on that one there. Shane Baz has been pretty disappointing all season long. The Yankees have been rolling offensively. But I somehow kind of like the under on this game. Baz is coming off his best start where he gave up just one run, a solo homer. I had high expectations for Baz coming into this season. I'll go with the under overall, 8.5 at -110 over at Hard Rock. We'll throw in one more Cam Schlittler prop while we're at it there. Under 1.5 walks, -101 over at DK. One other final note, John Sterling passed away. I know he is a close personal friend of the Cohen family, so my condolences out to that. Obviously, a lot of well-known guy in baseball circles, well-known for Yankees fans there.
Let's stay in the AL East for a moment, Jeff, and talk Red Sox Tigers. Another rough weekend for Boston. Dropped 2-3 against the Astros. The offense just doing nothing of late. And going to be an uphill battle for Peyton Tolley going up against Charles Skubal tonight.
Yeah, it is. They've scored three or fewer runs in their last five games. They've been struggling all season long offensively there. Line is, this one is the total is 7. The line is Detroit -199 DK last I saw. +163 to Boston if you want to get behind Peyton Tolley. Charles Skubal, he hasn't quite been a god. He's like Loki, somewhere between a mortal and a god. He's been giving up a homer. He gave up a homer in his last start. He gave up four runs in his previous start against the Brewers. So I think he might be a little attackable, maybe. Wilson Contreras has been the one Boston hitter that's not slumping at an 879 OPS going into this game. RotoWire Smart Money. Arturo likes the Wilson Contreras home run odds at +550, so we'll make that our play. I'm going to keep an eye out for walk bets as well. Right now, I didn't see. I looked at the start of the show, looked to see if they had a walk prop and over under walks on Peyton Tolley. They didn't over at DraftKings or at FanDuel. I'd keep an eye out on that one there to see what you can find, but look for to take the over if it's over one. If certainly over 1.5, and even a 2.5, we get a right price. Detroit has a 13.8 walk percentage versus left-handed pitching. So they walk more than any other team against lefty pitching. We saw that over the weekend, them being able to pull out walks again in that game against Mackenzie Gore against a left-handed pitcher there. So we can see it maybe again here tonight.
I do have some massive news that just broke in the NFL, Jeff. Tyrod Taylor has found a home. He is signing on with the Green Bay Packers to be the new backup to Jordan Love. So adjust your Packers projections accordingly as we get that news. Phillies Marlins, Jeff, Aaron Nola, Jansen Junk on the hill tonight. Totals coming in at 8.5. Phillies slight favorites on the money line. Are you doing anything with this game?
Yeah. So I think I want to attack Jansen Junk. Is he for real? Are we buying? You know, I like this type of bet where I kind of take a look and see, you know, this pitcher that's off to a good start. How real is it? And in the case here, I'm a little skeptical. Jansen Junk has a 3 ERA, a 106 whip, but the strikeout rate is only 15.8%. Swing and miss is only 8.8%. 250 BABIP suggests that he's been running pretty lucky. The Phillies are heating up a little bit. They're 5-1 under interim manager Don Mattingly, and his son is the GM, Preston Mattingly, so the hit prince, we used to call him. The Marlins are just sent down to Augustine Ramirez, so it's kind of a weird situation going on here. The one thing I do like is the Phillies team total over 4.5. You can get that over at DraftKings at plus 105.
Picking our way through the Major League Baseball slate here on Prop Points. Jeff, let's go to the NL Central, what has been the deepest division in baseball so far this season. Rough weekend for the Cincinnati Reds, but still a successful start to the year overall, coming off of a sweep in Pittsburgh. They now take on a Cubs team that's won 10 in a row at home. Cubs are minus 207 favorites on the money line tonight. We have a total all the way up at 11.5.
Yes, exactly. So that's where I want to start with that. First thing you do when you check a Cubs game at Wrigley is check the weather because it massively affects the line. There's more volatility in Wrigley Field in terms of the total than any other ballpark. Sometimes chasing the weather can get you caught, you know, and so I'm not going to bet the over on this one here, but it's worth noting. The wind's blowing out 17 miles an hour. Reds are going to be bringing in Chase Petty for probably what's going to be a one-off start. He's been called up before, but the Reds' bullpen is just absolutely taxed right now too. Terrible weekend Friday and Saturday. Brady Singer went short, Rhett Lauder went short. They have a real problem bridging games to the back end of their bullpen. I think this could get out of hand if Petty can't go deep, and I don't think Petty is all that great. So but the market also feels that way. The team total on the Cubs is a whopping 6.5, and you have to pay a minus 105 price to take the over on that one there. So that kind of just tells you what the expectation levels are on that one there. And then situations like that, I start to look for individual plays. And I'm going to go with a home run prop here. Pete Crow Armstrong plus 425 over at DK. A lot of the other ones are not competitive pricing. So just something to keep an eye on because obviously the conditions are so good for hitting. You know, I think you could play some Ellie De La Cruz total base props as well. You could have some fun with this one here and pick out some individual players. I think that's the way to go on this one.
Let's take a look at the Guardians and the Royals in KC tonight. Slightly elevated total up at 9. KC slightly favored on the money line, minus 118. Tanner Bibee, Michael Wacha on the hill. Another game, Jeff, where we have the wind blowing out. Not quite as extreme, perhaps, as we'll see at Wrigley Field tonight, but something you have to factor in.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind, Kauffman Stadium is a place where they moved the fences in and lowered them. So supposedly we're going to see this big home run boost, and it really hasn't helped the Royals so much this year. Royals, though, did play some good ball over the weekend. They went into Seattle. They swept the Mariners in T-Mobile Park. Pretty impressive to go about doing that. Maybe you're seeing some signs of life from that offense. They're still 15-19 on the season. Michael Wacha has actually been one of the good stories on the season. But we pointed it out a little bit ago, trying to peel that onion a little bit, that it's not all impressive. 10 runs over his last two starts. Can Cleveland exploit that? Probably, even though they're a little worse against righties than lefties. They did score 22 runs in the first two games against the A's before losing yesterday. But Wacha did beat Cleveland earlier this year. Allowed one run over 7 innings. That was like an ice bowl game, though. That was a really weird game, very cold game. It's going to be hot. Wind's going to be blowing out. I'm going to go with the Guardians over team total 4.5. You get that at plus 100 over at DraftKings.
Jeff, I don't know if you have any plays for Mets Rockies tonight, but I do want to highlight we have another game with a huge total, 11 out in Colorado. Yep. Mets minus 143 on the money line. Does look like the Mets will go with an opener tonight. Is that a high enough total where you're staying away?
No, not necessarily. It's Tomoyuki Sugano is another one of those pitchers. I think he's been over a little bit over his skis. I think this is possibly exploitable. Mets are going to go with David Peterson later after the opener. So that's why we're kind of looking at maybe, that's why you're listening. It's kind of undecided for the Mets as far as that goes. I always like going to try to find like a a Hunter Goodman home run prop on that one there would be a fun one to go ahead and try. If you look at the his money line over his home run line over at the best line I saw of that is +275 at MGM. As always, MGM's our good home run line.
Time for our best bets of the night to finish out the show, Jeff. Where are you taking us?
I'm taking us to that Cleveland Guardians team total over 4.5 runs against the Royals. How about you?
I'm going to lock in that under 217.5 in Spurs Wolves, counting on a little bit of a depressed offensive outing tonight for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll throw out a series total games parlay to kick off round one tonight. So give me Detroit Cleveland over 5.5 games. Give me Knicks Sixers over 5.5 games. Put those together +170 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I think we're getting competitive series on both of those in the Eastern Conference. That'll round out the Monday edition of Prop Points. We'll be here with you all throughout the week, 1 p.m. Eastern on VSiN on SiriusXM channel 158. Handing things off now to Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next on the Sports Betting Network.